You are listening to the weekly podcast of Jody Christian Church, located on 441 1 mile north of Maitland Boulevard, 1965 South Orange Blossom Trail in Apopka, Florida. Our website, jodychristian.com. This weekend, we continue with our new series called All In. Once again, we will be digging back in to Paul's letter to the Colossian Christians. Today, our guest speaker is Greg Pruitt, president of Pioneer Bible Translators. Dr. Pruitt has written a new book called Extreme Prayer, which is a great example and filled with stories of God's power being unleashed in response to extreme prayers of his people, which goes to show all of us that there's still power in prayer. Our scripture text comes from Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 9. Today's message is entitled All in Prayer.
Pioneer Bible Translators exist to disciple the Bible-less peoples of the world. Currently, Pioneer Bible Translators are serving 38 million people in 73 language projects in 17 countries with the ultimate goal of seeing lives transformed through
God's Word
in every language. Their strategy is prayer. That's why this weekend, I'm happy that the president of Pioneer Bible Translators, Dr. Greg Pruitt, is our guest speaker. Dr. Pruitt served as a Pioneer Bible Translator for 12 years in West Africa before becoming its president in 2007. Dr. Pruitt made prayer the strategy of Pioneer Bible Translators early on in his presidency and has written a terrific book titled Extreme Prayer, filled with stories of God's power being unleashed in response to the extreme prayers of his people. As we continue our all-in series this weekend, we are focusing on the topic of all-in prayer, and Dr. Pruitt has the experience and perspective to teach us what God wants us to learn today. Join me in welcoming to Journey Christian Church for the first time, Dr. Greg Pruitt.
That was pretty incredible. Okay, so I am really, really pleased to be here today because, I mean, we planned this months ago, and what could be more powerful than having a message about prayer right after a hurricane? I mean, this is when you need it. So I praise God because he is wise. So who here finds prayer challenging? Just raise your hand. Just might as well get... Yeah, I think lots of people do, and... I think the problem that we have with prayer is that we kind of have it in the wrong category. We think about it kind of like a discipline. So when the preacher's preaching about prayer, you know, we kind of hear it like a discipline, like running. It's kind of like he's saying, brothers and sisters, run without ceasing. Like, oh, pastor, I know I should, you know, but I just don't, I'm not very good at it. And I'm so exhausted at the end of the day. I just can't do it. It's for us, it's kind of like running. But what if we kind of took it out of that category and we moved it over into a different category, say like eating? Brothers and sisters, eat without ceasing. I mean, yeah, praise the Lord, right? Finally, something I am qualified for. You know, it's like, you know, oh, lately I've been so stressed out. I've been binge praying. I get so hungry. I just like pray in between meals. The other day, we went to church, and it was like all-you-could-pray buffet. Because prayer is not really a discipline like running. Prayer is how God sustains the body of Christ, like food. Prayer is the strategy that powers the church. In Colossians, we're in the middle of a series on Colossians. Colossians 1, 9 through 14, Paul shows that he really believes this. He says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he's rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. For Paul, I mean, you can tell when he's ministering and he's making a church happen, prayer is at the core of the thing. I mean, he's saying that he's praying. He believes that by his praying, the Colossian church is going to be full of knowledge and wisdom and spiritual fruit and power and endurance and patience and joy. I mean, if we really believed that prayer would do all that, none of us would stop praying, just like Paul said. Okay, but it seems like sometimes in the church, maybe this isn't true of this church, but often it seems like we really neglect prayer. And it might be because we kind of think of it as boring. But what could be boring about a torrent of God's power rushing into your life? That's what prayer is like. And what would it take for you to be known as a person of prayer, and for this church to be known as a people of prayer? Okay, well, I know that like 20-something years ago when I became a missionary, I did not rely on prayer first, okay? I had to learn that. Because I remember one day, you know, we went over there, and when we first got there, we didn't even have any car. We moved into this little shack in the middle of a village. Just imagine kind of National Geographic magazine, and we're there. And outside the house, I hear somebody, this woman just wailing and crying. And I went out, and I found somebody who spoke enough French to communicate with, and I said, what's wrong with this lady? And they said, well, her son is sick, and she thinks he's going to die. And I said, well, could we maybe see him? And they said, yeah, well, he's over at the witch doctor's right now, but we'll go get him. And we'll bring him back, and you can treat him. So I was like, okay. So when we got to this kid, he was laying on this dirt floor, and his breathing was labored. And I got down and looked at his eyes, and his pupils were just huge. And I shined a flashlight in him, and they did not move at all. And I was like, I've watched enough emergency television to know that's pupils fixed and dilated. You know, I've heard that a million times. I don't know what it means, but it's bad. So... So I was like, you know, we've got to help this kid. So I'm thinking, you know, maybe malaria, maybe meningitis. I don't know how to get pills into a kid that's unconscious. And finally, at a certain point, I said, you know, we are missionaries. What if we pray for the kid? And I no sooner said prayer than his eyes blinked. And I said, you know what? We better hurry up and pray for this kid because I think God's healing him. We prayed for that kid, and he was healed. And that's when I figured out God is real. And it doesn't make any sense at all to go to him last. He wants us to go to him in prayer first. Okay, so back in 2006, I was over there minding my own business, working as a Bible translator, when disaster struck. The board of Pioneer Bible Translators called me on the phone, and they asked me to be the president of the organization. I mean, at first I was okay with it. I was pretty excited. I was pumped. And then I realized, whoa, wait a minute. I don't know how to run a 501c3 nonprofit organization. I'm just a bush missionary. I'm pretty good at, like, hunting warthogs and stuff. And so I thought, man, I'm going to have a strategy, and it's going to have to be good, because if it doesn't work, everybody's going to know it. So, I had nothing. So I started begging God, you know, show me something. And I thought, you know what? I am a Bible translator. What if I read the Bible? So I started looking in the Bible, because I needed a source of power. And I started finding all these incredible verses, unlimited promises of power when you pray in certain ways. And so I started saying, hey, what if this would work? What if instead of making, Like, instead of praying about our strategies, what if we made prayer the strategy? Because Jesus said in John 14, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do the things that I have been doing. He'll do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. He didn't say, like, if you're an apostle. He said, anyone who believes in me. So raise your hand right now if you believe in Jesus. Okay, this is good. A lot of you. Okay, now turn to the person next to you and say, Jesus is talking about you. Getting a little out of hand there. Okay. Okay, that's great. Jesus promised ultimate power when you pray in Jesus' name. What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Is that like where we say, you know, dear God, please give me a Lamborghini. And then you just like, in Jesus' name. You just tack that on there. We know better, right? It's not that. In the Bible, a person's name means something. It reflects their nature, their character. And Jesus' name means salvation. So when we pray for Jesus' kingdom to come in our neighborhood and in our world, that's praying in the name of Jesus, in the authority and in the nature and in the character of Jesus. And Jesus said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. And he said, I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You didn't choose me. I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Okay, so the bad news, the Lamborghini, it's not going to work out. Okay, but the good news is that when you as a church are moving out in the mission of Jesus in your community, and you're healing the wounds of a hurricane, or you're doing any of the works that Jesus is calling you to do, he says you will have access to unlimited power because you will be praying in his name. So what is the master's business in your life? Pray about that, because God answers prayer in Jesus' name with unlimited power. Maybe you've never really done a lot of this. I mean, maybe the things that you've been praying have not been like this. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you haven't asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Okay, so Jesus also taught us that we need to persevere in prayer. He told two stories in Luke that both mean that we should always pray and never give up. Okay, so one story, you know, there's a guy, you're laying in bed, asleep, middle of the night, all of a sudden, there's a knock on the door. You're jumping out of bed. You grab the shotgun. You're loading it up, because that's how we roll in Texas. I don't know how y'all do. And you're going to the front door. You've got 911 partially dialed. You look out. Oh, it's the crazy neighbor. You know, he's not going away. So you just answer the door because he's never going to go away. And then Jesus turns the story around and he says, you be the crazy neighbor. You pray like that guy. He says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open. Because God answers persistent prayer. Okay, so the question that comes to my mind, why is it that we have to be persevering in prayer? Why not just pray one time? We're good. Okay, well, just think about what would happen. I mean, what would happen in this church if one guy prayed one day, God, please pour out your blessings on this church, and all of a sudden, the attendance triples, the budget triples, everything is awesome. From that one guy's prayer, what would everybody say? They'd say, man, we have an incredible preacher, and our church is awesome, right? They would take credit, and pride would ruin us, and God would never ruin us with an answer to prayer. But if God withholds his power until the whole church has been praying for a whole year that God would bless the church, and then he does it, nobody would be foolish enough to say anything but, we serve an awesome God. Okay, God, he also promises, besides God answering persistent prayer, Jesus also teaches that he answers unified group prayer. Okay, he teaches this in Matthew 18. He says, again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there it is again, there am I with them. Okay, so when he says the word agree, that word is the same word that we get symphony. And he's saying, when people gather in unified group prayer, it's like a beautiful symphony. It's like beautiful music. It's like harmony in the ears of God. So God answers unified group prayer with unlimited power. Okay, so how does this work in my life? Okay, back in 2008, I'd just become the president, and God saw fit to cause the Great Recession to happen. I was like, thanks a million. Okay, so the financial report of the organization shows up in my inbox. Okay, and I'm looking at it, and it's bad. Okay, I could tell. Because first off, all the numbers were below zero, and I don't know much, but I'm pretty sure in a financial report, that's not good. Okay, and you can kind of notice a trend. This is like a bobsled to bankruptcy. Okay, so I'm thinking, no problem. We have a strategy. So I sent out an email to everybody worldwide, and I said, please pray that God would pour out his blessing on our finances. That was right here. And then in the next month, things changed. It's subtle. Can you see it? Okay. All right. So if a financial advisor were to take a look at this graph, what question would he ask? You already know, right? He would look right here and he would say, sir, what did you do right here? Because whatever that is, you need to do that a lot. As a matter of fact, when we made prayer the strategy of our mission, even during the Great Recession, our annual income well over doubled in 7 years. Okay, the same thing happened with the personnel. When we started praying that God would bring us enough missionaries, the right new missionaries, to do the work overseas, God answered that prayer just as powerfully. Okay, take a look at this graph of our personnel. Can you see the place on this graph where we made prayer our strategy? Kind of subtle here, right in here, right? Okay. And this is with us saying to people, we're sending people to the worst places on earth, okay, literally. You know, we're going to people and saying, hey, how would you like to live in a war-torn tropical malarial zone just teeming with Islamic extremists? We'll let you raise all your own money. Okay, that's a hard ask, right? You know, you've got to really work at that. But God has all the power there is. If God can do that, and in just 5 years, he doubled our overseas missionaries, just 5 years. If God can do that, tell me, what is impossible for God? Nothing. So here's what I suggest for you. Ask God to show you what he wants you to do, number one. And then listen. I mean, that's an important part. You've got to listen for God's assignment. And then when you get what God, okay, how are you going to know it's God? Think about it. When God speaks, it's going to be terrifying. It's going to sound impossible, okay? You're going to know it's going to be hard. So when that happens, you're going to need to have a specific prayer request list that you generate. And this is how you're going to make that list. Gather a list of all the impossible things that would have to happen for you to do what God asked you to do. And that's your prayer request list. And all of those things, put that on there. That's what you're going to pray. And then gather a group of people to pray unified, persistent group prayer. And when you pray, pray expectantly. You pray with a pen and a paper in hand, and you pray expecting for God to show you how to accomplish the master's business in your neighborhood, in your state, in the world. In my experience, when you get those marching orders and you do those things and you pray and you put those hours into prayer, God will move in power for anyone, no matter where they are in the world. Okay, 1 year, I was over in the United States, and over in West Africa, a group of thieves started stealing solar panels in the region where my house in West Africa was. And they stole the solar panels off of the hospital. And they stole the solar panels over there in West Africa off of the governor's mansion. And they stole the solar panels off of the police station. And then finally, they got way out into my area where we lived, and we have a picture of it, and they stole the solar panels off of my house finally. The church was furious. They're like, no way are these thieves going to get Jesus' solar panels. So they started to meet and fast and pray that God would help them to catch the thieves. Okay, let's be real. Humanly speaking, you cannot fast and pray and catch thieves, right? You know that, right? Okay, otherwise the FBI would be totally differently organized. Okay, but these guys, nobody told them that. They were going to fast and pray and catch these thieves. So one night they were having a very special catch the thieves prayer meeting. They walked out of the church at night, and they were out there arguing and talking out in front of the church, as Christians do worldwide. And this one church leader looked over and saw a guy walking on the road in the dark, and he said, "That's the guy." And they were like, "No, I mean, you're just thinking that because we're having a special prayer meeting. I mean, that can't be him just right there." "No, that's the guy. We've got to go talk to him." So they went over there and they started talking to him. And they caught him in a lie. They checked his pockets. He had wires in one pocket. He had wire cutters in the other pocket. They took him to the police, found out that he had come there because he knew they were having prayer meetings. And he was there to steal the last solar panels off of one of the church leaders' houses. He was going to get the last solar panels. He had seriously misjudged the power of prayer. They took him, tied him up, took him into town to the police, and the police said, hey, we have found out that down in a town 2 hours south of here, that's where they're selling the solar panels. Take one of these policemen and go down there and check it out. They went down there and they started confiscating stolen solar panels. I got 8 solar panels stolen, and I got 8 solar panels back, and a lot of them were mine. And a pastor stood up in the middle of this Muslim city with all the leaders of the city, and he publicly testified that the only people in the whole area who got their solar panels back were those who prayed in Jesus' name. And these Muslim leaders of this city learned that God answers unified, persistent group prayer in Jesus' name with unlimited power. Amen. So a few years ago, these same guys started fasting and praying that God would help them evangelize their own people. And they have gone from having one church on our side of the border to having 23 places where they are planting the church. And I believe they're in the process of planting a church in every major village in their whole ethnic group. Really even going over into 2 other language groups. Okay, God is at work. If God can do that among Muslims in West Africa, where the people make $1 a day, what in this community is impossible for God? What would be impossible for God to do in this church among us here? Absolutely nothing. Prayer is not about getting whatever you want. Prayer is how God unleashes power in us to get whatever He wants. God answers persistent, unified group prayer in Jesus' name. Okay, so I wish that I could figure out how to make prayer like the next big thing. You know how there's always like a next big thing in the church, and it's not ever prayer. Have you noticed that? I wish I could figure out how to make it at least as big a deal as essential oils. Where like people are saying, no, you seriously, you have got to try this. You know, they're going for, no, really, try this out. It's awesome. You know, okay. But I really don't know how. I just don't know how. All I know, there's only one way. I dare you to try it. Just try it. Go ahead and stand, and let's take a moment to pray. Lord God, here we are. We know that you have all the power. We know that you are longing to move in our community. There are people that don't know you that you long for them to know you. There's destruction in our community, and you have in mind for us to move and be your body and be your representatives. And Lord, we just invite you to come and move in the fullness of your Holy Spirit in this church body. And we ask you, Lord, to use us in a mighty way. Lord, we don't know how to pray, but would you give us the power of your Holy Spirit to teach us how to pray and what to pray in our lives and what to pray in this place. And Lord, use us that we would do the kinds of great things that Jesus was doing, and that you would fulfill your promise that we would do even greater things than those. because he went to the Father. And now, Lord, we're asking you in Jesus' name. And I pray this prayer and this blessing on this congregation in the name of Jesus, the only name worthy of asking. I pray it in his name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message, All in Prayer, with our guest speaker, Greg Pruitt, president of Pioneer Bible Translators. For service times and more information about Journey Christian Church, please log on to our website anytime at journeychristian.com or call 407-88-GRACE. That's 407-884-7223.